At this late stage, I can see no other way forward but to call for a Marshall-like plan for nature, people, and planet. With the planetary emergency so critical, with the permafrost melting in Siberia, for instance, producing dire effects on global warming, and with the Pantanal in Brazil being consumed by unprecedented numbers of fires, we could no longer go on like this, as if there was no tomorrow and no ultimate reckoning for our abuse of nature. So, what do we do? Without doubt, we must now put ourselves on a warlike footing, approaching our action from the perspective of a military-style campaign. That way, working together, we can combat this most grave and urgent challenge. If we have the resolve to shift our trajectory, we must start now by bringing forward our net zero target. I'm afraid 2050 simply suggests we have room to delay. It is absolutely vital, given the enormity of the problem we face, that we make truly transformative progress along the road to net zero by 2030, taking the tough decisions now rather than deferring them to the next generation.
One of the things that we saw was a notice in September of 2021 of the creation of something brand new, a new investment company called Natural Asset Companies, or NACS. We just call them NACS. And what it is it's a partnership between a company called Intrinsic Exchange Group and the New York Stock Exchange to create this new investment company, this new investment class, to list on the New York Stock Exchange, where protected lands, so all the lands that they're trying to get protected under 30 by 30, all the lands they're trying to do in Canada as well, I mean, if you want to think in the same terms, could be enrolled in these natural asset companies for the world elites to invest in them and profit off of them. That's the scam. And so it, when we stumbled on that, it in my mind, it really clarified the purpose of 30 by 30. The purpose of 30 by 30 is basically to clear title. Okay, it's to get the middle class off the land, get it all consolidated into the either governments or environmental nonprofits, so they can enroll these in these natural asset companies and do a couple things: control the assets, control the land, and potentially profit off of them. So when we got that notice in September 2021, we really started keeping our eye on this one. And we started briefing people in April of 2023. And we had a key senator here that was briefed on it. And he had a letter that we helped draft, prepared to go to the Security Exchange Commission. So the process in America is that because this new company is such a new type of investment company, the New York Stock Exchange actually had to go to the Security Exchange Commission to get approval and special rules to list these. So we were waiting for that to, you know, that all to happen. Now, the reason they have to do the special rules is because they are doing something very unique in this process. We're not talking about listing physical land necessarily, although it could be enrolled in these natural asset companies. What they are trying to do is create an actual new class of assets that are based on natural processes. So think in terms of pollination, photosynthesis, things that everybody needs, that you can't contain. Nobody creates it. It's part of nature. And they are trying to monetize those and claim right to those. And those are the new assets that they are trying to enroll in these natural asset companies. And by doing that, they're claiming ownership of these rights. So it's really a crazy idea.
I have a question, and then I don't want to interrupt, but the biggest question to me is, And I looked at how Canada's wanting to implement this, you know, all the jibber jabber they're saying, why they're doing it. Save the environment, save the environment, save the environment. Untouched land. But you might be able to make 5% off it or something. But to me, it's like, I don't understand. They're saying they're not going to touch it. That's why we're doing it. But in the same token, you're saying they could exploit it and do the exact opposite of what they're saying, right?
Yeah. So that's a really good question. And I think everybody really struggles with that. How are they going to make money off of this? If the requirement to create these natural asset companies is that you really cannot produce things from the land like we traditionally understand. Anything that is non-replenishable, so oil and gas, mining, cannot occur on these lands. The purpose of the natural asset company is to grow the ecosystem services, which are basically these natural processes that they're going to, the new processes they're going to monetize. And it's to grow those. And so it's completely flipped. It completely flips our markets. So today our market is driven by, it's consumer driven. Mm-hmm. So you take a piece of land and it has timber on it. So today the profit, how you would make money out of that is you would harvest the timber and create construction materials. And then the consumer sets the price on that. Well, now if that same piece of land is under a natural asset company, the goal is not to cut the timber, but to increase the carbon coming from those lands and monetizing that. And somebody, it's not a consumer driven value. Somebody is going to be sitting in a room deciding that the air you breathe is worth X and the air I breathe is worth Y. Pollinization in Canada is worth X. Pollinization in America is worth Y. So they create these arbitrary values. And this is where the UN gets involved a little bit because they've created this whole ecosystem accounting method that everybody's supposed to follow in order to determine these values. And so they are arbitrarily keep creating these values. And that is what they say is going to create the profit to these investment companies that invest in the natural asset companies.
So in other words, the air we breathe, all the natural things that happen from nature, God, whatever you believe, that everyone has a right to just breathe and, you know, be a part of, are they actually now trying to value it and make money off it? And does that mean that they could end up withholding it as well?
Well, I think the direction they're headed is they really can't withhold it. I mean, that's why it is not property. That's why it's never been monetized before. When you think of property is something you can contain. So it's something that I can prevent you from using. You can prevent me from using if it's your property, right? So you can contain it. You can exclude people from it. Well, you can't exclude people from these natural processes, from benefiting from them, which is why they've never been valued before or monetized before. They've been valued. The financial system looks at them as externalities that can impact a timber harvest, but it's not the product that is actually monetized. So they're considered externalities. So they're already taken into account. This new step that they're trying to do is put a dollar figure on it. And by doing that, then claim ownership of it. So I think that how it would kind of play out is think of about carbon credits. So yeah. They've been trying to sell the carbon credits. Well, they're talking about biodiversity credits. So
we are in the middle right now in Canada of a huge scandal that's like make or break for if people are going to vote conservative or not for a lot of people, not everybody, because now they're literally trying to tax the doo-doo, a new carbon tax. They already have some, but an additional one, and it's making everything more expensive because everyone's got to pay for it, from the company that ships the product, the one that makes a product. And so it's going to skyrocket everything again. It's actually the biggest political thing happening right now, where, again, the taxpayer just has to pay more. Mm-hmm. Carbon, it's our fault. We have to pay for it. So, yeah, the whole credit system, they're already setting that up as well.
Yeah. And so they're talking about doing that with biodiversity credits. So we would all have this in account. And if you drive an EV, you will have more credits than if I drive an SUV. Mm-hmm. So this is where it really crosses the line, is they're using the markets by manufacturing all this. They're using the political power they have to force a social agenda on the people. And this crosses the line. So financial markets, until all of this new green stuff came up, the carbon markets, ESGs, they were basically blind to social agendas. Everything was decided on consumers, whether they bought or they didn't. But this whole carbon market thing is manufactured. If it hadn't been politically required, and it's basically blackmail. You know, they blackmail oil and gas, they blackmail saying you've got to pay this mitigation fee, and now everybody else is in this whole system where there's a carbon cost to everything. I mean, they have really skewed everything through this. Mm-hmm. It's not a legitimate, it's not a consumer-driven value. Mm-hmm. It is a social goal that they have imposed because they have the political power and they are getting control of the markets to do this. And so that's what they tried to do with the natural asset companies. It was going to be the first time that these natural processes like pollinization and photosynthesis and water filtration and a whole bunch of things, you know, the health benefits from being able to go into open space and how happy it makes you feel. There was a value put on that, you know. So that's what they're trying to monetize and say they are going to make money off of it. And by their figures, if you go to the Intrinsic Exchange Group's website, by their own figures, they say that it would add, change our economy from one that is currently based on real assets of 1.5 thousand trillion, I think is what they have on their website. The numbers are up there, to 5,000 trillion. So it's a 4-time increase by valuing these natural processes. So that's how they were advertising the natural asset companies, is that it's going to make you so much money. We never could understand how that was actually going to happen because it just is, it's a Ponzi scheme is really what it is. And that's what we started calling it. But I think that what you have to understand, and this is probably the most important thing to understand about this particular agenda, they do not need to make money off of this. The people who are going to invest in this are the people who already have the money and the power. They can invest in this, use these products to get control of the actual land assets. And then once they get control of those, then they can mine, drill, harvest the timber, and they will have all control of the natural resources within that natural asset company. And there's specific things in that rule that show you exactly how that was going to play out. And so once you realize it's not about them making money, it's about them having a device to get control of the land, then the agenda starts to make sense.
And you've looked at all the fine print. You looked at how, wait a sec, they can do this and they can do this. And that's what you drew the attention to your local, did you say senator and politicians? And they actually looked at it and they must have agreed with you because they stopped it, right?
Yeah, we started educating. There's one senator that we've worked with very closely. He's out of Nebraska. He is Senator Ricketts. And on the 30 by 30 agenda, he was the first, at the time he was the governor, and he's the first governor to come out and oppose 30 by 30. And he really led the states opposing 30 by 30. He is now a senator. Okay. And so in April, I had a meeting with him. My husband and I had a meeting with him on some other issues. And I asked him at the end of the meeting, I said, do you have a few minutes for one more issue? And he said, sure. And so we explained what they were doing on natural assets and he got it immediately. And we knew he would. He just is, he's very bright. He's ahead on these issues. So he understood what it was. And then we did a full briefing for him. And then we started circulating that. And that's where we started educating. Then we started doing some articles on it and just talking to key people, getting the right people ready for this because we knew it was going to happen. When the Security Exchange Commission issued their rule to approve these, they issued it October 4th with notice that they would be approving these 45 days later, November 18th of last year. There was no public press release. New York Stock Exchange, IEG, they were both very quiet. And so fortunately, we found it. And we had 21 days to make comments. which is a very short time window to get that done. But we got a couple of really good comments in there, substantive comments. And that's when my husband and I really went to work and got a lot of members in Congress updated. A couple key people that we worked with. One of them was the Utah State Treasurer, Marla Oakes. He's also been a leader against ESG in our nation. He really led the states to oppose this. So he got them educated. We had just great representatives. Representative Harriet Hageman is another one who really led on this in the House and got the House really educated on this. And so it was just it was really just getting the right people educated who could then educate their audiences. And we were able to get a delay. So they didn't make the decision November 18th. And then when we were able to get them to reopen comments. And finally, it was January 17th, the New York Stock Exchange pulled their application to create these natural asset companies. But we were like so close within days of that actually being approved.
And I've seen the comments. I've looked at what's happening. You are to thank for that. So,
well, thank you, you're welcome. But I will tell you, we were able to work with such great people.
Yeah.
And, and we know that you're in the middle of it and you see these doors open, the right people who are listening, who get it and just go to work. And that's just a God thing. God opens those doors. And we knew it. We knew that this was not our battle, that mm-hmm. He was completely in charge. We had to do everything we could to get people educated that He put us in front of. And so, anyway, it was really important. It was a very important battle that we stopped. And I think you're right, Odessa, you've probably looked at it deep enough to know how important it is that got stopped. I mean,
I wonder if that's what slowed down it happening in Canada or not, because right now they're like, it's in development. Now you, I think, mentioned there's some key people rah-rah-rahing it. And UN is one. Was it BlackRock or Rockefeller that you mentioned as well?
So the Rockefeller Foundation has funded, they're the key funder behind the Intrinsic Exchange Group.
Okay.
They're the ones who have put the money up to create the Intrinsic Exchange Group to try to get these natural asset companies on the New York Stock Exchange. So they are 100% behind it. Now, where the other entities are going to come into play here is they will be the investors. So BlackRock. So one of the things, not only BlackRock, but the national security concerns of this are huge.
Yeah.
Exhibit 5 of the SEC rule actually encourages foreign investment in these natural asset companies, which means like China sovereign wealth funds, Russia sovereign wealth funds, any of our enemies could invest and control these natural asset companies and therefore control all the land, all the resources within these natural asset companies. And I think one of the reasons that they are really aggressively trying to advance their agenda right now is, number one, the conservation con is getting unraveled. People are starting to wake up to this. This environmental movement has been a ruse from the beginning. Back when we were in the middle of our battle back in the 1970s and 80s, when it first started, I remember my dad saying, the environmental movement, it is not about whether we're going to use the resources. It's about who is going to use the resources. It's always been about who is going to own it. And so, when you think about Klaus Schwab saying, for all of us people, you will own nothing and you will love it. You will like it. Well, somebody is going to own it. He will be owning it. We won't be owning it if those policies go through. And so that's what you have to keep in mind, is the deceptiveness of all of this is really toxic. The environmental movement, I think, was a natural way to really try to get people looped into thinking in this way so that they could eventually get control of the assets, because it's very emotional.
It's about them taking all the land and the resources so they can lock us down. They don't want middle-income people. They don't want people to have money. They're going to make us all even. So it's back to like serfdom and the kingdom. And we're like, please, can I have a piece of bread? Please, can I have my water? please, can I go on that weekend trip and breathe air? Eventually, it's going to be like that. And that's why they're implementing the smart cities and all this other stuff I'm looking at to track us. But that's why it's so important that we're actually exposing, and we need to expose to the liberals, because most of them don't understand it. This is a money-making grab. And there was one other part you guys discussed in Epic, and I tell me if I'm getting this right, that people say, no, for it to stay public, for it to stay on the exchange, they're not allowed to exploit the resources. But isn't there some loophole where they can just start doing it, and then it just comes off the exchange and now it's privately owned?
Yeah. And this is really what we foresaw happening, is that they would create a NAC in an area. The area would have federal lands, private lands. And of course, the federal lands, it actually said in the rule, our national parks could be enrolled in these NACs. So now you have our national parks are being controlled by these investors. One of the other key parts of this rule is that it gave management authority over these assets to the investors, to the NAC. So now you've got, let's say China Sovereign Wealth Funds decides to enroll in a NAC that includes Yellowstone National Park. Now they have management authority over Yellowstone National Park if it's enrolled in that. So this is where it was getting very crazy. So, and then they had to manage everything for sustainability. And you know where that goes. You manage for sustainability. There was no definition in the SEC rule what that is. So basically it means less and less and less production till the landowners within that circle can't make a living anymore. And so they have to sell out. And who are they going to sell out to? Well, the only people who are going to buy it, which are going to be the people who own the NAC. Right?
BlackRock, that's China, Russia, just exactly. The richest elites. It's a globalist coup. It's a global coup. Yeah. That's what it is.
Well, then in the rule, once they get control of all those assets, there is only one way that it said they could be delisted, so that the NAC would be basically kicked out and you could no longer invest in it. And that's if they violated the sustainability rules. So if they just started mining, drilling the area, extracting the resources, they now would be kicked off the New York Stock Exchange, no penalty, and they could mine, drill, exploit our resources to great level, to whatever level they wanted to do. They would own them, they would benefit from them, they would profit from them. And if you know anything about China's environmental record, they're the last people we want in America.
This is probably one of the most important interviews I've ever done. I don't know if you guys understand that UNDRIP was one of them. But this is a whole nother thing. And so I appreciate how much all of you knew that the Maggie Braun interview was so important, and you shared it so much, and I appreciate it. This one is as important. And in fact, I'm going to send this to Maggie because she's doing such a good job. You don't know who she is, but she's doing something else similar, but it's in a different front. Because, I mean, we need to draw this attention to our friends in the markets. I have friends in the money markets. In fact, I'm friends with somebody that was the top earner of a financial wealth, not my friend in the freedom community, but from 30 years, he's the top guy. I want to draw his attention to this. Look at this. And he probably doesn't even know yet, right? Because they're probably, well, maybe he does know. And do you think he knows it's a scam if he's looked at it?
I don't know. I think most people who are honest investors smell the scam immediately. That was not a hard sell. But I think the other part of this that we tried to see what investors knew about it, and most of them didn't know anything. When we talked to our policymakers, they didn't know anything about this. I mean, they have really been doing it very quietly. But once you start looking, you will find articles all over about it. I think for a lot of people, it just didn't really trigger. They talk about ecosystem services and ecological performance rights, you know, these big hefty names that people don't really know what they mean. And so when you start looking, you're going to find a lot of information on it. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that's really important for your audience to understand is, first off, they are not done. They need to find a way to monetize these natural processes. So if they can't get it done in America, they're going to get it done in other countries. And IEG has already said they're coming back. They're going to try this again. The second thing is you have to watch what the governments are doing. The governments are doing something in tandem with this, very similar. Okay. We did an article called The Climate Crisis Robber Barons, and that's what it is now. You have those same people from the Bill Gates to the Rockefellers to the BlackRocks, Klaus Schwab, you know, they're all working the same agenda, which is they're using a climate crisis, which they have manufactured, which the science does not support. They've used a climate crisis to scare people into giving up their rights. And at the same time, they're funding the 30 by 30 agenda worldwide, which is transferring land out of the control of the people to the consolidated control of governments and environmental nonprofits. And then they are setting up a way to profit off of that through these natural asset companies. So that's really the trifecta. The emergency is a climate crisis. The vehicle to remove private property, remove the people, the masses from owning anything is a 30 by 30 agenda. Mm-hmm. And the vehicle for them to get final control and profit off of it is through these natural asset companies. So, or natural asset class or natural capital accounts, whatever they end up calling these. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it's about. For them, it's about power and money. And they don't care who is destroyed in the meantime. A lot of them believe there are too many of us in this world, and therefore starvation isn't a problem. They will be eating beef. We will not.
Yeah.
So it's elite versus the people. And it really is that simple. And it is dire. I mean, they are very full, very deep into this agenda, and they have gathered so much worldwide power across all the nations. So it is dire. I mean, we cannot be asleep at the wheel. This is no time to say, well, you know, I'll let somebody else fight that battle. If the people are going to retain our rights, we have to stand up and, mm-hmm. and do it now. And that's one reason, Odessa, mm-hmm. your program's so important. It really is. I mean, don't discount what you are doing, because educating people is the key to stopping all of this. I still have great belief in the American people, in people worldwide. Truth is a sword, and people are going to see through the conservation con. And it's just by getting them educated mm-hmm. that is going to happen, and it will turn.
My uncle, he's passed away now, but my uncle was one of the original founders of Greenpeace in Canada. Then he announces to his family, oh my God, this is not what we think it is. I've been taken over by communists. I'm leaving Greenpeace. He was part of Greenpeace because he was an Olympic sailor. He actually got bronze, I think, in Olympic sailing, loved the ocean, loved the whales, you know, saw what we were doing was messing them up and thought, I'm going to start something great so we can help conserve the whales and all that stuff. And it came from a good place, but somehow communists got involved and he said, this is being used for something completely different now. And he left and he was heartbroken. And I don't tell a lot of people that story because, you know, people are like, oh, Greenpeace, they're a bunch of commies. I'm like, yeah, my uncle started that. But I have witnesses in the family. He left